everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is a Monday, incredibly rainy here in the central foothills where, as Ray Allen was just saying on the news, almost 3 inches certainly up here in the central foothills. Our area of town, I have not seen roads this bad in the river and Swan area in many, many years. So what a Monday, huh? Monday, September 8th, 2014. Hope you had a great weekend and have managed to stay dry. The National Weather Service has now extended the flash flood warning until 12:45 in what now is a deadly flood day in Tucson, Arizona. So if you do not have to go outside, please stay inside today. Now, because of the severe street flooding around the KVOI studios at 44th and Palo Verde, I was not able to get into the station. Perhaps if I had had one of those monster trucks, I might have been able to get into it, but a low-profile vehicle, no way. And that was also the case of my producer, Rosemary Brandt. So Rose and I, not at the station today. However, Operations Director Ray Allen has been able to make it. Maybe Ray has one of these monster trucks. So he is engineering the show for us as we broadcast from my home office in the central Tucson foothills. And normally, of course, we would kick off the show with the Monday political face-off, but today is not a normal day, to say the least, so I had to postpone the face-off. My apologies to Paul Eckerstrom, and Bob Westerman was going to be in today, Bob making his premier appearance on the face-off. Bob is the former chair of the Pima County Republican Party. Bob, I promise we will get you on again in the near future, but sorry about that. It just didn't work out that way. For some of us, and I'm sure others listening to this, have had to have plans canceled or changed. Our scheduled telephone interview at 12:30 with the Buckmaster contributor on military and foreign affairs, General John Wickham. General Wickham, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff, will be expanded to a full hour. So if you have a question for General Wickham, you can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, and Ray Allen will be able to work it out, so we'll be having callers be able to ask General Wickham a question. You can also send along questions on the Bill Buckmaster Facebook page. I'll be checking that out. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe normally sponsors our Monday political face-off. Since there's no face-off, I still want to give him credit. Family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. We are live each weekday, noon to 1, on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We are live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and the station's website, kvoi.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere by visiting the podcast and our complete show archive at buckmastershow.com. Also, links to the program at tucsonsentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, and our newest media partner, thank you, Tucson Lifestyle Magazine, believes in the work we're doing here on the Buckmaster Show, and tucsonlifestyle.com now has a prominent link to the show. Okay, coming up on now 12:09 on this soggy Monday afternoon, let's go now on the Buckmaster Show live line to Oro Valley, where we talk with military and foreign affairs contributor to the Buckmaster Show, General John Wickham, who was the U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987 and Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the Army. He is retired in Oro Valley, and he joins us now on the live line. General Wickham, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Bill. This rain reminds me of my two tours in Vietnam. The monsoons there just never let up, and we've caught a bunch of rain. I guess you have, too. You couldn't make it into the station.
No, I couldn't. River Road, I live right off of River, and there was a huge tree trunk, looked like perhaps a cottonwood trunk that was blocking the road between Swan and Craycroft. I got around that, navigated my way a fairly good way along Swan when producer Rosemary Brandt called me and said, Bill, don't even bother. There's about 10-inch deep water around the station, and unless you've got a big truck, you're not going to be able to get in. So I turned around, came home. We worked this out with the phone, and luckily we had you for a half hour, and I don't think you mind extending to an hour because, my goodness, we have so much to talk about with the president outlining on Wednesday. Today he's briefing congressional leaders today on what to do about the Islamic group ISIS. Now, General, let me put you on the spot. If you were in the White House today, what kind of advice do you think you'd be giving the president?
Well, I think the president deserves credit for going a little slow here and gathering support. He gathered considerable support in NATO, and now the Arab League nations also have come aboard and said, we're going to provide support. That's important, because a few of those nations, Qatar, for example, and Saudi Arabia, have been actually providing financial as well as other support to this Islamic State. And also Iran, as just you may have noted, Iran has just come out and said, we're going to engage in fighting them, and they've just seized some people trying to go across their border to go and fight with the Syrian and Islamic State people. So I think that a little time to gather our wits about us is important. Now, the president has been catching some flack that we don't have a strategy. We do have a strategy. He needed to have more elements of it, the military element. Part of the strategy is, number one, we have to cut off the revenue going into this Islamic State. And that revenue comes from oil. It comes from selling antiquities that they've captured. It comes from ransom, that hundreds of millions of dollars of ransom money, not only from in Middle East, but also off of Somalia from the pirates and others. It also comes from drug trade. The Islamic State drug people are involved with Mexico and other countries in the middle, in our own hemisphere. So there is a danger, and I think it's one of the reasons, incidentally, that Fort Bliss has been put on high alert for the potential of an attack there, a terrorist attack. I think a second thing that we've got to be doing, and as part of a strategy, is building a coalition of local nations, the Middle East, to bring to bear ground power. No U.S. maneuver units, although we may be involved in providing advice and help with intelligence and maybe some special forces advisors, but no military units like Iraq again. I think that's smart. We cannot solve the war ourselves. The locals have got to do it. I think a third element is to bring to bear world recognition that this disease is a cancer, and it will spread to everyone, like Ebola is spreading. And we have to cut it out. We cannot contain it. Now, the tragedy, Bill, you understand it better than anyone, is that Islam as a faith, this is not the Islam of Muhammad. This is an Islam that has gone awry, an Islam that has poisoned its own believers. And it's poisoned people in wherever the Islamic faith exists, except, of course, in some of the large countries like Indonesia, the largest Muslim nation in the world, does not have as much of this radical element. But you don't hear the clerics denouncing this. We need to get the clerics in the Muslim world denouncing what's going on and bringing the Muslim faith into the modern era. And there's an interesting phenomenon that's occurred in Iran. The clerics in Iran, which are largely Shia, have been against what the Islamic State is doing. But the clerics in Iran are saying we do not want to have social media in Iran. No Facebook, no Instagram, none of that kind of stuff, because it brings pornography. Guess what? The President Rouhani of Iran has said, wait a minute, this is the wave of the future. If we do not open up our country to the social media like Facebook, we're going to have to do it next year or the year after. This is the future, and the young people want that. So I think there is some opportunity here growing in Islamic countries to recognize that the path that they have been on in terms of faith and in terms of theology is wrong. Look at Saudi Arabia that has had this devil's bargain with the Islamic faith a century or more ago. You support the monarchy and we'll give you total control over our youth and the madrasas. And look what it's created in terms of danger.
All right, General Wickham, we're going to take our first break here. It's coming up on about 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment, General Wickham would be happy to entertain it. When we come back with the General, I want to talk with General Wickham about military assets that ISIS has, and how do you go about cutting the head off in a horrible, when you cut heads off people, hostages like that. I mean, the psychological impact on the American people has been tremendous. And we're going to talk about all of that with General Wickham right after this. All right, thank you, Ray Allen, engineering today's show. This is Bill Buckmaster. It's the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI with live streaming at buckmastershow.com. And we are doing the show from our home studio in the central foothills of Tucson. Too difficult to get into the station today with a low-profile vehicle because of the severe flooding here in Tucson around the KVOI studios. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Moe and his family, we thank them for their support every Monday of the Monday Political Face-Off from noon to 12:30. Today, the face-off was postponed. We extended the interview that was scheduled for 12:30 with General John Wickham, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff. We're now doing an hour with General Wickham. And let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. I think we have Jim Kelly with us. Jim, you're on with the General.
Good afternoon. How's the reception? Am I being heard well?
Very well. Thank you.
Okay, excellent. General, it's good to talk to you again, sir. My question is this. Every veteran I talk to, I mean, Facebook was blowing up all over ISIS this weekend, and every one of them said, we don't want to go back unless there is a strategy to remove ISIS. We don't want to have to keep fighting this thing. And I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on that. Who've been there, don't want to go back.
Okay, General, did you hear the question?
I did, yes.
Okay.
Thanks, Jim. Good question, and it's on the minds of an awful lot of people all over the Western world. And I think part of my answer previously dealt with that. We do have a strategy. The president has not articulated in full dimension, but we are fulfilling it. And part of that is cutting off the revenue. Part of it is building a coalition of countries that will fight the Islamic State on the ground, and that's happening. Part of it is building a military capability, no maneuver units from the United States, but air power, and we're using that very effectively. We've had almost 150 strikes from naval aircraft and drones that have been very effective, and that's going to continue relentlessly against the Islamic State. And I think NATO has said, and the president said over there in NATO at Wales when they had their meeting, we are going to eliminate this cancer. It's not containment, it's elimination. And so I think that veterans can be reassured we're not going to have another Iraq. We're not going to have maneuver units deployed over there, but we will be involved, and it's going to cost us money, and it's going to cost us some advisors to help out. And so I'm optimistic that we're going to get with it, but it is not going to happen overnight. We're going to be in this mess for a couple of years, probably, if not longer.
What kind of military assets does ISIS present, General Wickham?
Unfortunately, Bill, they have stolen a lot of modern weapons as they've overrun bases in Iraq that the Iraqi army has abandoned. They have captured weapons, modern weapons, that we gave the Iraqi army. And number two, some of these Arab supporters, like Qatar and other nations, have been giving them some modern weapons or the funds to buy them on the black market. The black market, incidentally, is filled with the modern weapons that you can buy. You can buy air defense weapons. It'll shoot down an airplane, for example, if you want. So it's not a matter of capturing. You can buy them if you've got the money. And this Islamic State has got the money from their oil, from ransom, and from donations of people that are believing in what they're doing. So now, one of the downsides of these modern weapons that ISIS has is that they need to be maintained. You can't drive a tank for days on end without very thorough maintenance. And we have that maintenance. And every unit, every military organization we've supported has depended on our support of maintenance. The Islamic State does not have it. So they're going to run out of these weapons. They're going to crash. You need maintenance of air defense weapons also. So, and if the electronics do not work in tank weapons, for example, you're going to have to get technicians to help. They don't have them. So there's a short life on some of these weapons that they have captured.
General Wickham, let me ask you, when we see these gruesome videos of the two journalists who were beheaded by ISIS, what kind of impact does that have? I know the impact it has on the average American. They're horrified at that. What in, at the White House and at the Pentagon, something like that happens, what is the reaction?
Well, the reaction, as you point out, Bill, horror, that this is not the values that we believe in. It's not Christian. It's not Jewish. It's not Confucius. It's not Hindu. It's not the religions of the modern world. And so there's something wrong. And what they are trying to do, these horrific people, is sort of hit us right between the face with a 2x4. There is a belief that by beheading someone, you are breaking the spirit away from the body. We believe, as you know, in the West, that the body and the spirit are one. And so we believe that goes to heaven if you're good. And by breaking them apart, the Islamic people are sort of shaming us, saying, look, we're taking away your spirit. We're breaking the body and the spirit, and you'll never go to heaven again. And that's what we're going to do to all of you that are infidels and do not convert to Islam. The Islam we believe in is a fundamental Islam. It's the Islam of Saudi Arabia. And it's the Islam that Muhammad never believed in, that kind of thing. But it's been twisted and torn asunder.
All right, General, we're going to take a hard break in 1 minute, but so you're going to have to keep this to 1 minute. And some are saying you cannot get to ISIS with air power alone. It will require American boots on the ground. What is your response to that?
It does not require military units. We're not talking about Iraq with a military commitment that we made. But it will require advisors to help the Peshmerga, the Kurdish military, to help Iraq reconstitute its army. It's going to take intelligence people. It's going to take communications people. It's going to take air power, yes. Air power can be powerful. if we're, I mean, the ability to detect targets and to track targets with weapons from the air that follow a target as it moves behind a building even, and the weapon will find it, is a phenomenal technology that's come about now that are on aircraft. So we can do an awful lot without boots on the ground, but we're going to have military people over there. We've got about 3,000. We may have to have some more, but not in Iraq again.
All right, General Wickham, stay with us. We've got another half hour with the general, and the other trouble spot, Ukraine, that's coming up with the general on the midway point of the Buckmaster Show. 790-2040 for your comments. Buckmaster Show. It is Bill Buckmaster with you from our home studio in the foothills. Due to the weather situation, it was just too difficult with flooding around the KVOI studios to get into the station. So we are very happy that operations manager Ray Allen, who is engineering the show, was able to get in and is taking care of things at the station. And with us on the Buckmaster Show live line, our normal half-hour interview that we do usually the first Monday of every month with General John Wickham. We expanded today to an hour. General Wickham, of course, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. And General Wickham, we have a call on the Buckmaster Show live line. Bob wants to switch topics to go to another hot spot, a situation that doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon, and that is Gaza and Hamas. Go ahead, Bob. You're with General Wickham.
Good afternoon, General. My question is, what do you think of the cessation of hostilities in Gaza before the Israelis have totally decimated Hamas?
Okay.
That's a very, very important question, Bob, because it's going to be around for some time. And on one hand, you could argue that Hamas, which is a fundamentalist Islamic organization that is seeking to destroy Israel, unless Hamas is rendered useless, they're going to be at this game again, sending rockets into Israel, rockets that shoot anybody down, kill anybody, they don't care, and building tunnels again. And Israel, of course, as a nation, has to defend itself. So they're going to be faced, perhaps again, with a requirement to do something again against Hamas. So, unfortunately, this has been war between those two. It's cost several thousand lives and much destruction in Gaza. That's going to take an enormous amount of outside aid to rebuild. So I'm not optimistic that the Israelis and the Hamas or the Palestinian Authority on the West Bank are going to be able to negotiate some kind of prolonged ceasefire or a peaceful settlement. Until, however, there is a peaceful settlement, this is going to continue. The peaceful settlement should be the goal we're seeking. Some kind of peaceful state of Palestine and of Israel, where the Palestinians recognize the right of Israel to exist. And the Israelis recognize that Palestine has a right to exist, and we're not going to constrain them in terms of economics or in terms of activity. Unfortunately, the Israelis continue to push settlements into the West Bank, taking land up that one could argue used to be and should be part of a Palestinian state. So it's a thumb in the eye activity that the Israelis are continuing to do, and that does not bode well for any kind of peaceful solution.
All right, General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. That number is 790-2040, 790-2040. Certainly the other topic, General, that we need to get into is the situation in Ukraine. I noticed the latest news here is that the ceasefire appears now to be not holding. So this could be a very bad situation if that ceasefire ends.
That's right, Bill. The ceasefire is not going to hold because the rebellious Ukrainians are not really under the thumb of anybody, the Russians or the Ukrainian government. So they're going to do their own thing. They've got their weapons. That's what happened to that shootdown of that airliner, that you've got rogue elements that are not under control, and so things like this are going to happen. That does not mean, however, that we should not continue to work as we are. Petro Poroshenko, the president of Ukraine, and the European Union, as well as even Putin to a degree, towards some kind of ceasefire. Now, of course, what Putin is after, and I think it's sort of become abundantly obvious to everyone, he's seeking to restore some of what Russia lost at the end of World War II with the breakup of the USSR. To get Crimea back, unfortunately, and he would like to get the Ukraine back and some of the other nations in Eastern Europe, like the Baltic states. And so that's the worry we've got to be concerned about, that there may be more Russian movement in the other areas of Eastern Europe. So Putin is not going to stop. But on the other hand, it's conceivable that in the discussions and the pressure from economic constraints on Russia, that there could be some kind of settlement. For example, one settlement might be that the Ukraine become a federal state with various states underneath the federal structure, like the United States with its states, 50 states, and each state having its own economic activities, economic control, its own borders to protect, its own National Guard. You could argue that you could form a state in the eastern part of the Ukraine that is Russian only, speaks the language of Russia. Look what happened in Quebec. The French language is there in Canada, and yet Quebec is part of Canada. So you could create that kind of a structure, and that might be somewhat placating towards Russia and Putin, that we're not going to push Ukraine into NATO or into the European Union, but we're going to have part of the Ukraine that will be oriented towards Russia, and that might settle some of the problems.
Is this the strongest challenge to NATO, going back to your own time as U.S. Army Chief of Staff? Did you have any kind of challenges like this with NATO, or is this really the most urgent challenge that you can remember?
Not the most urgent. At one time, as you'll recollect, Bill, NATO nations, and the United States included, faced 50,000 nuclear weapons in Russia. And we had 50,000 also. The danger of nuclear war was threatening our children and grandchildren. That's gone. We're now less to 1,000 nuclear weapons in Russia and in the United States. So that threat has gone away. So that was a danger. Yes, this is a dangerous situation with hostilities, but I don't think it's anything like what it used to be. Now, unfortunately, NATO has grown a little weak. The requirement of NATO has been to at least do 2% of each nation's gross national product for defense. There's only about three of the nations that have done that. The others have not, and they need to kick up their defense spending, and I think that's one of the agreements that came out of this recent summit in Wales. And number two, there is a treaty arrangement with NATO, Article 5, says that if one part, one nation is threatened, all of us in the NATO organization are going to react. And that has grown a little weak. And I think it's now much stronger. I think President made those comments up in the Baltic states as well as in Wales. And a reassurance that in the creation of this 4,000-man brigade that could move around in within 48 hours is a reassurance that if there's any going to be a threat on any nation, we're going to react quickly, according to the Article 5 of the NATO agreement. So I think that we're moving in positive directions the way it should have been.
So maybe it was time for a tune-up with NATO anyway. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, Bill. That's a good way to put it.
I mean, maybe we needed to take a look at the whole alliance and really where we go from here, and maybe some positive will come out of it. Is that what I'm
exactly
hearing you say?
Right, Bill. You put your finger on it. NATO is faced, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, NATO was created in 1949 to deal with the Soviet Union. And after the collapse of the Soviet Union, NATO has been struggling with a strategy. What is our purpose? Do we go to places outside of our borders? Well, yes, they have gone into Libya, and they've gone into Afghanistan. So that has been a search for a mission for NATO. So in a way, this has been a bit of a wake-up call for the NATO nations. NATO is an important foundation for security in the Western world. We have to keep it alive and well, and I think that these kinds of meetings are doing it. And Putin may have made a big mistake by what he's done. He's sort of reawakened NATO.
All right. We should take a break here, but before we do take the break, Richard has been waiting patiently, General Wickham, to ask you a question, and it is on topic about NATO. So, Richard, go ahead. Your question for the general.
Thank you, Bill. Yes, General. Sir, I'm trying to get around a. I'm sorry, a flooded spot. Which way, officer? Should I go this way or this way? Oh, I did know. Okay. I'm sorry, General. Police is approaching right now because of a flooded situation. I'm sorry, sir. I didn't know which way to go. Should I turn around? Okay. Turn around the parking lot here?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, okay. General, I'm sorry about that. The question is, do the Russians feel boxed in by NATO? Have we surrounded them too much?
Richard, did you hear that, General?
I think I caught the gist of it. Yeah, good question, excellent question. I don't know where you get these listeners that come up with these tough questions.
they're the best, I'll tell you. We've got
the
best listening
best,
audience.
Right.
And I appreciate Richard calling from his cell. He's out in that horrible traffic right now. Obviously, he had to turn. I heard him say he had to turn around in an area, so I appreciate him taking the time to get a question to you. So go ahead, General.
I think the essence of the question was that what Russia has been trying to do has created a basis for strengthening NATO and may very well lead to more capabilities on the part of NATO. But at the same time, Russia has marched into the Ukraine. And where we stand now with the ceasefire, the Russians have influence on the eastern part of Ukraine, and they're not moving out. So one can argue that the ceasefire has created an opportunity for Russia to further its interests. And it's going to take considerable diplomatic endeavor and considerable toughness on the part of NATO to be sure that this does not morph into more aggressive activity.
All right, General Wickham, we are going to take the break right here. And again, we've had some great questions from our, I think, the best listening audience in Tucson, 790-2040. Let's take the break here, and then our final segment with General Wickham continues on The Buckmaster Show. Back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Every weekend in the fall, it seems like there's something going on 3 hours east of Tucson in Silver City. They have a big guitar festival they call Pick-A-Mania. That's coming up this weekend, so check out Silver City. You can find all the things to do and the great places to stay on their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. Places to stay like Gila Hot Springs Ranch and Continental Divide RV Park. Check out Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, another one of the fine Buckmaster Show sponsors. We are doing a whole hour today with General John Wickham, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff. We wanted to clarify, a caller wanted to ask you if Russia feels threatened by NATO surrounding Russia, in other words, NATO aggression. The caller believes that is the case, General Wickham.
Yeah, that, I missed that essence of his question. That's an excellent point. And as he knows, and your audience probably knows, back in the 1990s, we had an agreement, a written agreement with Russia, that we would not push NATO forces towards the east, and we would not station forces towards the east as a threat. And yet we have sort of done some things. We were going to put air defense weapons in Poland that we said were put there to deal with Iran and other dangerous elements, but the Russians didn't see it that way. So and I think we've been very cautious about moving the forces towards the east. Russia does feel and will feel threatened by NATO if it were to move eastward. So we've got to be very cautious about that. Anyone who studies Russia, studies Russian history, studies the current Russia, understands that in spades. And we don't need to do that. I think by rotating this 4,000-man force that has been created, the Brits have already, the British have already given the brigade headquarters for it, by rotating it around periodically in various NATO nations, prepositioning supplies for it to use, including fuel, that will not be a threat to the, Russia. But if we start back down the road, as existed during the Bush administration, of putting weapons in East European countries, air defense weapons, anti-ballistic weapons, Russia will see that as a direct threat. We don't need to sort of jab nationalism in Russia. I think we can deal with Russia in other ways.
All right, 12:55 on the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We'd like to get an update quickly about Davis Mountain Air Force Base. Is the risk affecting DM as far as changing out the aircraft A-10? Is that still a very viable risk, or how do you assess that, sir?
I see that as in the future, Bill. It looks like the A-10 is going to be around for at least a year or two, even though the Air Force Chief of Staff and Air Force leadership believes that we need to retire that weapon system, which is 40 years old, and put money into the future, in future capabilities. I think there's wisdom in what the Air Force Chief of Staff is saying. On the other hand, we can understand the jobs, we can understand the capabilities of the Warthog A-10 aircraft in close air support, and so there is some merit in keeping it. So I do not see any threat to Davis-Monthan for the in the near term with the A-10. I think our current Ron Barber, for example, has been very supportive in Congress in helping to guarantee that.
What did you think of the Krugman piece in the New York Times concerning the op-ed piece on the VA and medical care in this country?
Well, there was a that's a wonderful thing there, Bill. Krugman had pointed out that Medicare, and it's been on PBS also, Medicare has surprised everyone by coming in with lower cost growth than anyone had expected. And the forecast is that Medicare, as well as health insurance expenses, are going to continue to decline until 2020, if not beyond that. And that indicates that there's going to be less pressure on medical expenses with the VA. And therefore, the Congress is likely not to try to funding for the VA, but to continue to fund it as much as it has. One of the credits to the Obama administration that hasn't gotten a lot of publicity, the Obama administration has given more funding for the VA than any administration in the past. And there have been some problems with the VA. We've all read about them, and they've got to be corrected. I think we've got a new leader of the Veterans Administration now that's come out of industry that's going to help straighten things out. But I'm optimistic about the future and caring for our veterans.
You've been very active with the VA locally. It's one of the best in the country, isn't it?
One of the best in the country for a couple of reasons. One, Gabby Giffords, to her everlasting credit, when she was on the VA committee in Congress, pounded the table about getting more funding for the VA clinic here, and we have. And number two, the head of the VA medical center here, Gardner, has been a champion going back to Washington regularly to get funding for this activity. And that's one of the reasons we have one of the best VA medical centers in the country here.
General Wickham, I want to thank you very much for your service, of course, and for service today, spending your whole hour with us, the whole show, under these unusual circumstances with the flooding. You did a great job. We had some great questions from listeners.
Well, one of the interesting little points, so I'll take a moment, it's a piece of humor. When I was a military assistant to Secretary of Defense Schlesinger, he went up to New York City to make a speech to the Council on Foreign Relations. And on the way back, flying back that night, he leaned across the aisle and he said, "John, what'd you think of the speech?" And I said, "Mr. Secretary, great speech, but the answers to the questions were too long, put a lot of people asleep, including me." And Schlesinger leaned across and he said, "You know, Wickham, you can be easily replaced."
General, thanks a lot. All the best to you. Thank
God
you,
bless.
Sir. Okay, General John Wickham on the Buckmaster Show. Bottled water provided by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. We've got to go, the Buckmaster Show. Thank you very much, Ray Allen, for helping out back at the studio, and hopefully we'll be back with you tomorrow in studio on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon and evening.